Encouraging words and the power of words. I'd like to start reading in Genesis. I know that all of us have probably thought about this scripture before, the power of it, and I just want to read a few verses, but in Genesis. So Genesis, in the third verse, says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. I just think about how the power of God's word created the world. And, you know, I'm sure that many of us have thought about that. And I don't know, God may have been able to, sure, he could have done it some other way. But he used this as the power of words. I believe the Lord wants us to learn by example. Many times in his word, he'll teach us by example. We teach our children by example. It's not just what we teach them, but they see us attend church every Sunday, unless we're sick or something, or we're out of town. They see that. They see that example, and we're teaching them. We teach others by example, not always by the words we say, but God was teaching us the power of his word. He said, let there be light, there was light. And the reason he used that as an example, he wants us to realize that we have power with our words. And that Lord would help us to understand that. And he said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then it goes on to say, if you read the whole chapter there, but it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. And then it says, and the earth brought forth grass. Whatever God said, it was done. And then if you read the very last of the Bible, I've often thought about this, how serious this is too. And just to kind of insert this thought, but, you know, they're making new Bibles and they're changing the words. And, you know, as close as I understand, the King James Version is the Bible that we should have for, you know, they seem to think that they have to change the words so we can understand them better, but we have the Lord help us. We can understand his word. We don't need man to tamper with it. But in Revelations here in the very end, it says here in the 19th verse, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So it's also in the 18th verse, for I testify unto you, every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. We're not to add, we're not to take away. So, you know, to me it would be a very serious thing to tamper with God's word. I know there's translations and it had to be through the years, what we have now, the King James Version. But as far as I understand, God blesses this word and is as close as I understand. But some of these modern versions, they're taking away and they're changing the meaning. We need to be careful about that. But anyway, the thought is about words and how serious words are and the power of words. And I was thinking about how God teaches us to praise him with our lips. In Psalm 63:3, he wants us to praise him. He wants us to give glory to him and thank him for all the things that he has done. And I know sometimes that we may not have the opportunity to really go into detail about certain things in a big congregation. And there's times that God will allow us to have the time to express ourselves. But the Lord wants us to express ourselves and use our lips to glorify him, to joyfully glorify him. In Psalms 63:3, it says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You know, the Lord wants us to really praise him with our lips. He wants us to use our mouth to praise God, to give him glory for what he's done. He teaches us that we are to pray with thanksgiving. You know, I know that we have a lot of prayer requests, and And that's all right. The Lord wants to answer our prayers. He wants us to help us out. But I believe maybe we would get a lot more answers if we would just really be thankful and really praise Him and live in that attitude of praise. You know, we can almost sometimes sound like we're complaining if we talk too much about our troubles, too much about our problems, too much about things that's happened in the past. But God wants us to glorify Him. He wants us to praise Him. We can even praise Him when things go wrong, when things are not perfect. We can still glorify God. And that's what the Lord wants to see. He wants us to see a thankful heart, a prayer with thanksgiving, being very thankful. And it says in the 4th chapter of Philippians, in the 6th verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Lord wants us to be thankful. We can't, we have to come to God with earnestness. We have to come to God with awe. We have to come with Him with respect. We have to come with Him, to Him knowing that whatever He does, He'll do according to His will. And we're not going to complain about it, but we're going to know that whatever's best for me, whatever's best for you, God will do that. We trust Him that way. We trust Him as a Heavenly Father, and so we praise Him for that. We praise Him with joyful lips. It says here, we want to read some now over here in Thessalonians. Lord, help us to get what He wants us to get out of the Word of God this morning. The Lord wants us to thank Him for different things and praise Him always and keep a thankful heart. I want to read Thessalonians 5 and 18. It says, in everything give thanks. The Lord wants us to give thanks in everything. Just continually thank Him for everything. And I want to read over here in Matthew also in the 12th chapter, in the 36th verse. This scripture is always, I'm sure kind of we've thought about it many times, but the 12th chapter, the 36th verse says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And think about idle words, words that are really not profitable, speaking and things that are just not profitable. They're just, they're not edifying, especially in public assemblies. We need to be very careful what we speak. We want to be led of the Lord. We want the Holy Spirit to give that unction. We want to wait on the Lord and ask the Lord to help us to know how to speak when God wants us to and know how to learn to be quiet. We know that we must have different ones speak, and God wants to encourage us to testify and thank Him. We don't want to put any damper on that, but we want to do it with joyful lips. We want to do it with edification. We want to make sure that the flesh is not involved in it, but we want to glorify the Lord. That's our purpose here, is to encourage one another, to help one another, to learn from God's Word. Idle words, just words that are of no profit. They're not. Have you ever been around conversations sometimes when it just didn't seem like it wasn't any profit in it? It wasn't an encouragement in it. And, you know, we just need to be careful that the Lord would help us to. It says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, I was thinking about, we also are directed to take note of God's providence in the common occurrences of our human life. I forgot to bring that out. And also, and praise God for that. We need to watch for God and praise Him. We have many things to praise Him about. But we want to ask the Lord to help us to have profitable words, and the Lord would help us to excel in this. The Lord can help us. And Ephesians 5:4, it says, this kind of goes along with that last verse. It said, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And I looked up that word, jesting. Jesting is just like witty criticism, joking, kind of a slander remark, jesting, but in a joking way. You know, you've seen people sometimes that they can joke about something in order to really put somebody down, but they're making a joke about it because they really don't want to come out and really say it, so they'll just kind of make a slander remark. So that's jesting. Foolishness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know, if we just would use our words and be careful, you know, and think about what we're going to say to someone before we say it, the Lord could help us to be a little more careful. May the Lord help us. And mocking, jest also means mocking. Or bantering remark, joking about it, witty criticism. And then I like to read over here in Ephesians, go on down to the 11th verse. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, this scripture, it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, saints, there's many things in this world is getting very wicked, and it's very evil. And I believe when we're in the house of God, we need to be very careful how we speak of those things that are shameful. And, you know, we need to be careful. We cannot just speak anything we want to speak that God would be pleased in anyway. We may do it, but the Lord may not be pleased in that. Even in private talk or among us in our homes or anywhere. There's some things that's just shameful. It's just not appropriate. It's not appropriate talk for us to speak of those things, especially in public assemblies with men and women present. We need to be careful how we speak. It says there's a shame. There's a shame in sin. You know, sin is shameful. It's just shameful. It's just things that we can't talk about all the time. So we need to be careful. We want to use our words to glorify the Lord. And it says here, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I like to read in Proverbs 15:1, know that it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. You know, I was just thinking of, the Lord help us to know how to do that. There was a story that was very interesting to me, and it was telling about this man and his wife, and the woman told her husband one day, as husbands and wives do visit and communicate, she told him some criticism. Maybe it wasn't wise for her to do that, but she told him, she said, you talk too much. And she didn't like it. She thought, you talk too much. And his answer was, you're right. I do talk too much. You know, I need help in that. That was a soft answer. After that, she just kept talking to him, and she said, you know what? You're such an easy person to talk to. So I just love you so much. Your husband, you're just so easy to talk to. Have you ever been talked to someone that just easy to talk to? Even if it's something that's like she was really kind of criticized, but it was still, he just answered her softly, and it stopped the whole problem. But if we answer differently, it can cause more problem. But the Lord said he gave us wisdom in the Bible. He said a soft answer turneth away wrath. It's not always easy to do that, but that's what the Bible teaches us to do. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I admire people that can be that way. Lord, help us to be able to be that way. And maybe the Lord can help us to do that. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Suppose that maybe between here and the judgment day, or between here and the day we die, there's going to be times that someone may say something to us that's hurtful, and the Lord said, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife. So Lord, help us to know how to do that. I like to read over here in Job 15 and 3. Talks about unprofitable talk. Unprofitable talk. Job 15 and 3. And the Lord help us to. You know, there's so many things to do and so many good things to do with our life. The enemy sometimes will just get us going on unprofitable talk. I just wonder how much more we can enjoy our life if we're very careful in these areas with our words. How much more we could enjoy each other. How much more that we'd have less hurts among us and less things to get over if we just would just try to be more careful how we deal with each other. Job 15 and 3 says, should he reason with unprofitable talk, or with speeches wherewith he can do no good? You know, there's some things we talk about that's just not profitable. Sometimes it just doesn't do any good. Sometimes we can try, but it just doesn't do any good. It says, should he reason with unprofitable talk, or with speeches wherewith he can do no good? And the Lord help us to be careful. Back in Ephesians 5, let's go back to Ephesians, words. Words are powerful. Words change our destiny. You know, there was an older lady that acquaintance with me, and she told me a story. And she lived till she was about 95 years old, so she had some wisdom. And she said, I used to say all the time, I was a school teacher, and I used to say, I could do this job with a broken leg. She said, even if I had a broken leg, I could be a school teacher. I could still do my job. Why she said this, I don't know, but she was just boasting in the fact that she could take care of her job, even with a broken leg. She said, it wasn't very long after that, guess what happened to me? I got a broken leg. And she said, and I was in a wheelchair, and I had to teach my class. We may think, well, it just was a coincidence, but has that ever happened to you? Have you ever said something wasn't wise, and it happened to you? And that's happened to me. I've said things that just was not a remark I didn't need to say, and lo and behold, I say, it happened to me. And so if this can happen to us in something bad, what if we would speak words of blessing? What if we put blessings on our children? You know, in the old Bible and the Old Testament, I think about Isaac, how he blessed Jacob. And, you know, even though he was supposed to bless Esau, but he was tricked. But still, when his words went out and blessed Jacob, Jacob was blessed. And when Esau came in, he wanted a blessing, and he did get a different blessing if you read there. But it wasn't the blessing he wanted. It wasn't a blessing he could have because Isaac's words had already went out. His blessing had went on that child, and so the blessing was going to stay, and God did what he spoke. He was on his dying bed, but when he blessed, do you not believe that even today that we could bless our families? We could speak blessings instead of curse? If we sit around and say, well, that child is just so bad, or that child is this or that, and maybe that child will just stay that way. But if we start blessing that child, Lord, I ask you to bless that child. Help that child I believe that child is going to be saved. I believe my household's going to be saved. I believe they're going to make it to heaven. Lord, I speak blessings on my family. I speak blessings. I'm not going to sit and speak curses upon them. I'm not going to say things to ridicule my family or hurt my family, but I'm going to say blessings on them. And you know what will happen? Blessings will start coming. I believe it. The Lord was speaking to me the thought like, speak encouraging words to yourself. You know, sometimes you can find yourself thinking about the past or thinking about something that happened, and then you start feeling down, and then you wonder, why am I feeling down? Because I was speaking words in my mind. Words are so powerful. But then when you realize and you start, but Lord, this is why thankfulness helps us so much. We start saying, well, Lord, but I'm thankful for this, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for this, and I have my health, and I have so many blessings, Lord. And instead of dwelling on the negative of life, start blessing God for all the positive things, and use those words in your mind to lift you up. You know, there's a scripture, I don't have it right now, but you remember when it said that Goldsmith encouraged on, and it said, you know, we need to encourage ourselves. And there's another scripture that said he encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, the Lord wants us to speak positive thoughts. Negative thoughts doesn't help anybody. It won't help you. It won't help me. It won't help any of us. Negativism at church, chapel, when we come here, it won't help us. We need to hear positive things. We need to hear uplifting things. Even if something bad happened to us, if we want to tell about it, we can always tell how the Lord blessed us. If we can't, maybe better if we didn't tell it. But you know, if we can tell how the Lord encouraged me through this, how he blessed me. You ever hear the story about a lady that came into a chapel and she was wanting help? But she heard the Christians all tell about all their problems and all their hard problems with the devil. And that was the testimonies that night. And it discouraged the woman. And she went away. But I would rather, if someone would come among us, that he would hear us praise him. He would thank him that I'm so happy that I'm saved. I'm so happy how the Lord has answered prayer and how he's done this and that. And how, yes, I did have a problem, but God took me through it. And just hear encouraging things. And that's what will draw people to Christ, is having happiness in our life, having a positive outlook, knowing that God is great and God's going to take me through this. And no, I'm not going to be discouraged. You know, when the enemy comes along, he'll speak words of discouragement. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know if God's talking to me or the devil's talking to me. Well, here I think I know how we can figure it out, because the devil will always talk discouraging things. He will always tell you how you're going to get out of this. How is this ever going to get any better? I don't know if this person will ever get saved. He'll just tell you all kinds of things, but you can just say the opposite. I believe that God's going to help. I believe that the blessing is coming. I know one time there were some things here in Guthrie, and you know, I just started thinking of positive. I said, you know, the Lord's blessing Guthrie. And I just started saying it. I said it to myself in my secret closet of prayer. I said, God, I believe you're going to bless Guthrie. You're going to bless this congregation. We have some really wonderful saints there that love you, that really love you. And we have unity. We have blessings here. And God is going to bless us. And God is doing that. You know, saints, we can think that way. We don't want to think negative. I've heard some people say, well, I'm not saying here, but the church is going down. It's not what it used to be. You know, if that's what they think, then it's not what it used to be. But you know, we can think positive. The church is the same as it always was. The Lord said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit that D.S. Warner had. The Holy Spirit's the same one way back when we worked with Paul and Peter. The Holy Spirit is still the same Holy Spirit. And God is the same God. And Jesus is the same Christ that died on that cross. And God is with the saints today in 2010. I believe that. And I'm going to speak blessings on the church of God. The church is not going down. The church is the same as it always been. And the people, God will bless them. God will help them. Sure, there might be people that are in different degrees of light. Some are coming to the light. Some have been saved many years and understand more that God still has a church and God is going to help people. But you know where it's going to work with our words, the power of words. It's going to work when we're positive, when we're encouraged. That's going to draw people to Christ. People don't want to come to someone that's down and discouraged and complaining and telling about all their problems. the people want to come to someone that's happy, being a Christian, that's positive about it. You know, if someone says, are you saved? You know you're saved. Are you sanctified? You know you're sanctified. Well, if you can't say that, then you can get that. You can know it. You can know where you're at today. You know that God is the great I am. Oh, I thank God that we can speak words of prophet, words of blessing. Ephesians 5:19, it says, here, speak to yourself. Speak to yourselves. We can talk to ourselves positively. We can speak to ourselves in Psalms, reading the Psalms. Sometimes all the Bible is good, but you can take the Psalms and you can read. They're so comforting. They're so blessing. They have so much good in them. You can speak to yourself in the Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Oh, how many times singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When we sing these songs, are we letting the Word speak to us? Are we just singing the words? Are we letting the Word speak to us when we sing these words? That's why sometimes you'll see the saints lift up their hands, because they're allowing the words to touch their heart. They're speaking those words to themselves. And when they raise their hand, they're saying, those words have blessed my soul. Those words are helping me right now. I believe in those words. I testify in that way. I speak to yourself positive things, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Dear ones, we have to go through this life. We might as well be happy. We might as well be positive. We might as well help everybody we can, because this life is so short. But while we're here, let us enjoy it. Let us be positive. Like I said again, negativeness won't help us any. It'll just discourage us. But we want to be positive. Well, you say, well, what if a serious problem comes along? The Lord will help us. He will deliver us. He will bless us. And another thing, sometimes I've noticed this in my past, but we can praise God when we're sick. We can praise Him when we're going through difficult times. Many times, if we'll just praise Him anyway, praise the Lord anyhow, and we'll keep positive, we'll be healed, we'll be blessed. And if we're not healed, the Lord still will help us to make heaven our home. So we're in a win-win situation. We just got to be positive about it. The Lord is going to help us. Oh, I think about, it says here, 12 and, let's see, Ephesians 5:19, and then Psalms 19. I wanted to get over here and back in Psalms a little bit. Psalms 19 and 12 through 14. The Lord is able to help us to draw closer to Him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The words of the Lord are pure words. Pure words. That's what the Lord, His words are pure. They're righteous. They're wonderful. They're godly. I just think about the Bible, how precious it is, every word of it. How many times God will speak the word to us and encourage us. Any time that we need some help, all we have to do is just go to the Word, and the Word will speak, God will speak blessings upon us, and pure words, wonderful words. Over here in Psalms 19, in the 12th verse, it says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Not only the words of my mouth, but the meditation of my heart. Meditate on the right things. Meditate on the positive things, and the Lord will bless us. Meditate on those things. Proverbs 25:11, it says, apples of gold. We've heard this scripture before many times. Apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. In Sunday school class, we were talking a little bit about that, and someone brought out that the pictures of silver was like years ago that they had pictures of silver, a metal. It was like a looking glass. It was like a mirror. And a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold. You know, gold and silver are precious metals. And a word fitly spoken at the right time is like that. It's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Oh, Lord, help us. Proverbs 12 and 18. It says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Do you know that can bring health to us by speaking, by thinking positively? It says, the tongue of the wise is health. And not only that, but it will be health. We won't have as much stress in our lives. We won't have it because of words, because we've used the right words, we've used wise words. Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. That's powerful, isn't it? Life is powerful. Death is something that's powerful. But it's in the words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We can speak words. We can change conversations. Have you ever been in a group of people and the course of the conversation would go in a different direction just by maybe something you said or maybe something someone else said? And you could change it maybe on more of a positive note by speaking something more positive, and it could kind of just change the conversation. There's power in the words, and the Lord can help us to, excuse me, Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Read up there a little bit before that. It says, the fourth verse says, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Sixth verse, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. James 3 and 2 says that if we do not offend in word, we're a perfect person. James 3 and 2, for if any man, in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. If we don't offend in word, we can be a perfect. Proverbs, let's go back to Proverbs 17 and 28. It says, let's read the 27th verse of the 17th chapter of Proverbs. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know, there's also a verse in the Bible where it says, study to be quiet. Well, sometimes we need to learn how to be quiet. Sometimes we need, it's good for us to speak, and sometimes it's not. We need to weigh the Spirit and ask the Lord to help us to know when. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. May the Lord help us. So I just wanted to mention that one more time before I sit down, but the blessing that came to me so strong, the blessing that Isaac blessed, and different ones in the Bible would put blessings upon their families, and the words were so powerful. And God has blessed us. He has blessed us. He has put words upon us. He has blessed us. He said, there's different words he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. He spoke that word. It's true, isn't it? It happened. He knocked at your door. You heard his voice. You came to him. He said he would come to us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He spoke those words, and he stood behind what he spoke. He gave us rest. He cleansed us from sin. Did he not say that we can live free from sin? Did he not do it for us? Is he not keeping us by the power of God? Every word he's spoken. Why should we ever doubt him? Because he has spoke his word. He has kept it true. His promises have not failed us. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He still loves us. He's still going to help us. His words are true. They will not fail us. Praise God. Lord, help us all to just live close to the Lord and help us with our words that we can be blessed in our lives. Pray for me.